This week's Republican National Convention in Tampa was kind of fascinating in that it showed mainstream journalists struggling to reconcile reporting on blatant untruth with their reflexive aversion to taking stands. Presidential nominee Mitt Romney mostly steered clear of provable facts, as in his reference to the president's, quote, apology tour. Fact-checking organizations call that untrue, but what if you equate diplomacy with apology? Likewise, if he asserts,
I wish President Obama had succeeded because I want America to succeed.
I mean, who's to argue? But Vice Presidential nominee Paul Ryan's speech, praised as audacious and energetic, was so factually challenged that Fox News anchor Chris Wallace was moved to offer a couple of fast, preemptive fact checks.
I just want to make two final points because they're going to be brought up over the course of the next 24 hours. He talked about the GM plant in Janesville that was shut down after Obama came in. I'm sure the Democrats are going to point out it was the president who bailed out GM. And he also criticized the president for doing nothing about the Bowles-Simpson plan. He was a member of the Bowles-Simpson Commission, and he voted against it. Back to you, Megan.
To his credit, Wallace was quick on the draw. On cable and broadcast TV, Ryan's whoppers were generally referenced fleetingly as statements that Democrats might later dispute, suggesting that no fact is nonpartisan. True, CNN did provide a video crawl during the speech and the following days with the word fact in red type. Since we can't show you that, we made you an audio version.
For my part, your nomination is
fact.
An unexpected
Jana
term.
Ryan and her husband have
it
three children,
news to my family.
Liza, Charlie, and Sam.
And I'd like you to meet them. My best friend and wife, Jana,
fact.
Our
Paul
daughter
Paul Ryan
Liza,
was born in Janesville, Wisconsin.
And Sam.
He has a BA from Miami University in Ohio.
Fact.
Mitt Romney is watching Paul Ryan's speech
Governor Romney
in
asked
his
me to
hotel
join the
room
I said,
with family.
Let's get this done. There she is, my
fact.
Mom, Betty.
Paul Ryan is a congressman from Wisconsin.
The people of Wisconsin have been good to me.
Fact.
My dad,
Paul Ryan's
a small
father
town
died
lawyer,
when he
was
15 years old.
Until we lost him when I was 16.
Oops.
I'd like to think he'd be proud
fact.
Of me.
Paul Ryan and his wife
and
have
brothers.
Three children.
Facts, ma'am. But as for fact-checking Ryan's claims with regard to, say, the stimulus package, that was either too hard, you'd need to Google, or too risky. And so instead, we read that he had three kids twice in the same recurring cycle. Meanwhile, a Romney strategist says he won't be dictated to by fact-checkers. That in reference to a political ad we'll get to in a few minutes. And the Obama campaign sent a public letter of complaint earlier this summer to factcheck.org when that organization found untruths in its ad about Romney and Bain. So the game is on. If the campaigns can't be shamed into probity, what are the media to do? Try harder. And James Fallows of The Atlantic says they are, despite a natural inclination not to.
I think that in a way, the creation of the fact-checker meme over the last decade or so in journalism reflects a mismatch between the approach of conventional journalists and some of the evolving realities of politics, because conventional journalists, as we both know, are most comfortable when they can say, critics say X, and yet the administration denies X. Because it's awkward for them to say the administration says Z and Z is not true, it's been easier to franchise that duty to some other part of the same organization who could say, well, here, wearing my fact-checker referee hat, I can say that this claim is not actually true. It took that burden away from the normal reporter.
Poor journalists.
Poor journalists.
But now the fact-checking institutions themselves are under attack.
If most journalists realize that we're operating in a world in which some major political figures are not going to be constrained by saying things that are just not true, then maybe that will become part of our news reporting again, as I think it should have been. And we have seen some little signs of that, of headlines in major papers saying, you know, candidate X falsely says this, or political ad Z falsely claims that.
We were really stunned by how slow the fact-checking was on the cable networks and on the broadcast networks, even the post-game analysis the next morning.
That is interesting. It may be on TV the main way in which people feel comfortable expressing their opinions is sort of sports commentary play-by-play. Mm-hmm. That was an effective speech. He looked tired. The crowd was responding. All those things we know about the kind of sports journalism aspect of politics. It could also be that different sorts of skills are selected for. TV broadcasters versus people who are expressing themselves through writing. And again, I'm looking on the glasses one-tenth full perspective. Compared with a year or two ago, there's more willingness in more parts of the press now to try to deal with a basically changed fact environment. So that's at least movement in the correct direction.
James, you move me. You really think that if we repeat it long enough as journalists, it will make a difference? I mean, what if everybody knows that something is a lie and nobody gives a crap?
I will answer this in two ways with actual earnestness. My father was a doctor. He knew that everybody he was going to treat would eventually die, but he did his best to make their life as healthy and as prolonged as it could be, et cetera. So part of what one does is to work along in the face sometimes of inevitable failure or defeat. The other answer would be that unless we thought that it made some difference to repeat that something is true and something else is false, why would you or I stay in this business one more day? Why not go open a beer hall?
Jim Fallows of The Atlantic. Jim, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Brooke.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.